How powerful is the Cox Network? So powerful that one day, the internet will let your doctor perform miracles from thousands of miles away.
Connecting to remote operating room.
Giving a whole new meaning to the term house call.
Operation complete.
The Cox Network. With gig speeds everywhere, it's internet built for tomorrow, today. Cox, bringing us closer. In Cox serviceable areas, speeds vary and are not guaranteed. Cox terms apply. Other restrictions may apply.
Does an orthopedic condition or sports injury have you sidelined? Make your comeback with GW Hospital Sports Medicine. We offer services from neck to toe, including care for shoulders, hips, knees, ankles, and hands. Plus, we're the official healthcare partner of GW Athletics, the DC Furies, and the DC Revolution. Get back to doing the things you love. Learn more at gwhospital.com/sportsmed or call 888-4-GW-DOCS. Physicians are not employees or agents of this hospital.
Hey, hey, really the only thing that gon' be normal is distribution. Normal folks gon' infuse some. Optimize your lineups and you feed the rest, you mute them. Turning it up, these numbers are loud. Peeping this game from a nimbus is wild. Making it rain while I embrace all this risk, I'm insane. Talking about that best bill, I'm the best, best, best till. Into the next world, guess I got next still. Best bill, I'm the best, best, rest chill. Into the next world, guess I got next still. Hey, hey. Really the only thing that gon' be normal is distribution. Normal folks gon' infuse some. Optimize your lineups in your...
And welcome to the Best Bell Fantasy Football Podcast and live stream. I'm Bradley Stalder. You can follow me on Twitter at FFStalder. It's right there. And if you like the content, make sure you hit that red subscribe button. Tonight, I'm going to do a quick recap of some of the biggest moves that happened pre-free agency, but also during this day one of the tampering time. So the league year begins on Wednesday, but there is a two-day tampering window that goes from Monday today at noon until Wednesday when the league year starts. So for those unfamiliar with the cycle of the NFL, this is that negotiating time. Although you have to be a little suspicious. I mean, just a little suspicious of the negotiations that happened before noon today. Because at 12:01, we're getting some news rolling in, pretty official. Now, none of these things go into play until Wednesday. So there have been historically a couple players who have reneged or backed out of their verbal agreements or their deals that have not become official until Wednesday. So there is still this back out time, if you want to say. So we are going to, of course, monitor this, but for the most part, all of these contracts are pretty set. Like, we're not going to expect a lot of movement, but I do have my phone at the ready just in case we get the Aaron Rodgers news. It's been squeezing Twitter's throat, you know, for the last day. Please announce Aaron Rodgers to the New York Jets is what everyone has been saying. And look, just to take a moment to talk about the Aaron Rodgers situation. He's played well. I mean, I don't think he's washed at all. He played the majority of the season last year with a broken thumb, and he was throwing to the likes of Christian Watson, who was not good for the first half of the year. He was objectively bad. And Romeo Dubs, Randall Cobb, Robert Tonyan coming off of an ACL. And then dumping it off to A.J. Dillon and Aaron Jones. It's just not going to get it done offensively. And if he moves to the New York Jets, it's wheels up for Rodgers, who will get back into that top 10 consideration. I think at top 10 consideration, I'm not going to get carried away with top 5, top 3, anything like that. If he moves to the New York Jets, I do love the Garrett Wilson wide receiver. I do love Elijah Moore there. I love if Corey Davis would re-sign. I think that would be a really nice spot But the reality is Aaron Rodgers would have the weapons he would need to be back in that top 10, top 12 conversation if, in fact, he moves the New York Jets. I think that, of course, it'll bump up Garrett Wilson just a little bit. I think Wilson is getting that mid-round two draft capital in your best ball leagues right now. So if Aaron Rodgers is traded, I think maybe Wilson gets bumped up to that 1-2 turn. But I can't see him leapfrogging the likes of Stephon Diggs, at least at this point. The A.J. Browns of the world, I don't know if we can get there. The Davante Adams, the Stephon Diggs. I think Garrett Wilson will firmly plant himself at that 1-2 turn. There might be some people who get aggressive on him. That's fine. I don't hate being aggressive on Garrett Wilson. Could he leapfrog Stephon Diggs eventually? Yeah. But for right now, that's not how I see the market going with regard to Garrett Wilson. I think the biggest jump, if Aaron Rodgers goes to the New York Jets, and this sounds crazy, maybe not, it's going to be Tyler Conklin, the tight end. Aaron Rodgers loves to target his tight ends in the red zone. And Tyler Conklin is going like round 17, 18, 19, 20. And I think he would provide a great value. If you miss out on a lot of the early tight ends, and we'll talk about a couple other tight ends that I think have been bumped up because of this free agency time, that Tyler Conklin is one that needs to be on your radar. And I've talked with James Brimacombe about this. I've talked with Billy Muzio about this. Tyler Conklin is the guy you want in the New York Jets tight end room. Now, there had been some chatter pre-combine about how the Jets might be in on drafting a tight end. If they trade Aaron Rodgers, I don't think that the Jets would be using a top-tier draft capital investment on a tight end. They would want to surround Rodgers with more dynamic weapons than even what a first-round tight end could offer at this point. So I think Tyler Conklin is a very interesting play here as we're moving forward in picking Jets players who would see significant increases. Of course, we're going to see, you know, Elijah Moore get bumped up a little bit. We're going to see Breece Hall move from that 3-4 turn to maybe like late second round. Sometimes you're seeing him late second round. Sometimes you're seeing him in the third round. I think he's going to be firmly second round pick if Aaron Rodgers gets there. Just the way that Rodgers is able to get the ball in the short spaces, but also, you know, we've seen Breece Hall be able to run a few routes down the field, and imagine if it's Aaron Rodgers throwing him the ball and not the Mike Whites or Zach Wilsons of the world. So that's what I'm thinking for the Aaron Rodgers impact. Okay, let's start with the biggest signing of the day, and that is Jimmy Garoppolo. What does Jimmy Garoppolo bring to the table? Well, he's accurate, and he's able to get the balls to his guys close to the line of scrimmage. We saw him succeed in the Kyle Shanahan offense, and I think that that's going to lower the A dot for Davante Adams, but also it keeps Adams in this goal line touchdown role. So I don't have a lot of issues with Jimmy Garoppolo moving to the Vegas Raiders for a fantasy impact of the pass catchers. I think it's going to work out just fine for Hunter Renfrow. I think it's going to work out just fine for Darren Waller. I have more confidence in Davante Adams than if the Raiders would have just drafted a rookie quarterback, or if the Raiders would have gone out and kept or signed Jarrett Stidham. Stidham ended up, we'll talk about him in a second, but he signed a 2-year deal for $10 million to be the backup in Denver. So he really wasn't in the plans for the Vegas Raiders. But with Jimmy Garoppolo, we know what we're going to get from him. Jimmy Garoppolo's ceiling is as a top 12 quarterback, like in that 10 to 12 range. That's his absolute ceiling. His floor, though, can get kind of scary. We can see him disappear with bad decision-making, with those low A-dot passes. Like, drives can just wither away almost immediately if he has an incompletion and then one completion that's for like a yard or two. Now, maybe we see Coach McDaniel, Josh McDaniel, challenge Garoppolo to throw the ball further down the field. That's possible. And Adams can do it. Adams is, you know, if spent most of his career with Aaron Rodgers and was about a mid-pack yards per reception type of wide receiver for the majority of his career. It was the touchdowns that buoyed him because Rodgers, you know, can hit his guys in the end zone. But it was last year with Derek Carr where we saw Devontae Adams jump up in yards per reception. So I don't have a lot of concerns with Jimmy Garoppolo moving for the other fantasy relevant pieces. I think he stays how he is as a mid-pack quarterback too. I could see him being like between quarterback 18 and quarterback 20 once it's all said and done. And the 3 years, $72 million, I think like 32 or 34 of it is fully guaranteed. So Jimmy Garoppolo, and that's what you're paying for starters, 30 something million dollars right now. We just saw Daniel Jones sign for $40 million. So Jimmy Garoppolo getting 34 or so million dollars guaranteed sets him up to be either a bridge quarterback short term, and the Raiders can draft a quarterback. I think they're at 7. They can draft someone at 7, or the Raiders can invest long term in Jimmy Garoppolo. That's fine. So they have set themselves up for a few different options based on what is successful. So we'll see what happens with the Raiders, but at least they've gone in on Garoppolo. The Texans were also interested in Jimmy Garoppolo, but I think the Raiders just came in and said, you know, we want you to be our guy. And to be able to throw to the likes of Devontae Adams, Darren Waller, Hunter Renfrow would be a significant upgrade over what the Texans have. Like Brandon Cooks, John Mechie, and Nico Collins. Yeah, I mean, give me that all day if I'm Jimmy Garoppolo. Put yourself in a place to succeed. So that's how I'm viewing Jimmy Garoppolo himself as a mid-pack quarterback too. His ceiling has high quarterback too. His floor is pretty scary. And then the other pass catchers, I think that firms up Darren Waller's role in the offense. I think Hunter Renfrow will be a PPR useful piece. So I think you can be drafting Hunter Renfrow. I'm not sure his exact ADP off the top of my head, but Hunter Renfrow should be a player that you should be considering with super cheap stacks. I mean, you're going to draft Devontae Adams either at the end of the first round, maybe beginning of the second round, but you can get Darren Waller. I've seen Darren Waller go round 8, round 9, etc. And so looking at where Hunter Renfrow is, Renfrow is wide receiver 71, ADP 160. So that should be fine. I think that's going to be pretty cheap. And right now, for what it's worth, Jimmy Garoppolo is quarterback 29 in ADP on Underdog Fantasy. So you're going to be able to get the Raiders offense pretty cheap. And maybe you pair the Raiders with the Chiefs offense. You know, see if you can get, I don't know, if Kelsey falls a little bit, you can get Kelsey and Adams at that 1-2 turn. And then maybe Waller later, Hunter Renfrow later, Kadarius Toney. You can really be able to attack these Chiefs and Raiders pretty cheaply. Or maybe you go, this is a possibility, you go Adams in round 1 and then Mike Williams and Keenan Allen in rounds 4 and 5. Herbert in round 6, see if he's there. So there's a possibility to be able to double stack and make the Raiders a cheap stack that you can pair with maybe a higher flying offense in your best ball tournaments. We just got news tonight that Jameis Winston is returning to the New Orleans Saints. What does this mean? He's going to be a backup. He's going to back up Derek Carr, and Taysom Hill is going to be relegated to third string quarterback / mobile tight end, wildcat formation type of tight end. There really wasn't a market for Jameis Winston to have a chance to compete for a starting role. Like maybe he would have, gone to Tampa, But that bridge may have been burned for that organization. I mean, a 30 for 30 with Tampa Bay really wouldn't work out too well in reprising his role. But a one-year, $8 million deal keeps him in the same system. He's staying behind Carr. I mean, that's it. Winston really didn't play much last year after his injury. So I'm surprised, actually, that he returns, given his frustration that he expressed when Andy Dalton was named the starter, despite the fact that Winston was healthy. Another quarterback deal going down, quarterback Sam Darnold, who played for the Panthers last year, signed a one-year deal with the San Francisco 49ers. He provides stability in a quarterback room that has some questions. We aren't sure how Brock Purdy is going to be ready for the start of the season. Maybe he's ready. Maybe his elbow is healed. Maybe it's not. We are too far out at this point to be able to tell whether Brock Purdy is going to be ready. Now, he's projected to be ready. Brock Purdy is projected to be ready, but there's a lot of green grass between now and the start of the season. So maybe Sam Darnold would be the starter if there's a lost confidence in Trey Lance. And I don't know if y'all have seen the meme, the Seinfeld meme, where Coach GM John Lynch is like scratching his head and he's not sure. Trey Lance is our guy. And there's the Seinfeld meme where he's like, oh, the higher you go in the head, the less confident you are in the decision. And I think that that's an underlying feeling around the people that I'm talking with out of San Francisco, is there's not a lot of confidence in Trey Lance and his development at this point. So bringing in a veteran, Sam Darnold, who had a couple nice games at the end of last year for Carolina, he had some duds. He definitely didn't play well when he was with the Jets, but maybe a fresh start under Kyle Shanahan offense may be what Sam Darnold needs. So if there's a buy low candidate in the super flex markets, I mean, Sam Darnold, you can probably get him uber cheap. I'm thinking of what, like a late round, third round pick. that's what I'm thinking in the dynasty streets. If you're trying to acquire Sam Darnold, consider him there. A 1 year deal, nothing crazy, at least a valuable depth signing. Quarterback Case Keenum signed with the Houston Texans to be their backup. A 2 year, just over $6 million deal to back up whoever's going to be drafted at number two. And maybe it's Bryce Young. Maybe it's CJ Stroud. Maybe it's Anthony Richardson. I doubt it's going to be Will Levis, but maybe it's Will Levis. Case Keenum, though, had been a valuable starter for a few years. And now, moving into that backup veteran role. He had been the backup for Cleveland for a few years. Last year, he played with Buffalo and now moving to the Houston Texans. So not really much to move on the fantasy needle here. Just if you're looking for someone who's going to be a solid backup in Superflex, like see if he's on your waivers and might as well just throw a dollar fab bid or a zero fab bid on Case Keenum if you need super flex quarterback depth, but nothing more than that. Like, I wouldn't view Case Keenum as someone who would compete for a starting role. That's not what he's being signed for. Quarterback Mike White signed a 2 year deal with the Miami Dolphins for up to $16 million. There's a lot of incentives laid into Mike White's deal. But based on what we saw from Tua last year, that pocket awareness is something that Tua is going to need to improve upon so that he can stay on the field. Two separate concussions costing him significant games. The Miami Dolphins lean into a division rival in Mike White, who had some pretty nice spike games and is willing to throw the ball down the field. And willing to throw the ball down the field, plus Tyreek Hill, plus Jaylen Waddle, gives you an interesting super flex deep league consideration. If he's on your waivers, if someone dropped him, or even in like your super deep one quarterback leagues, at least there's some interesting spike week potential for Mike White, given the offense that he's in and the commitment that the Miami Dolphins were willing to put to him. Now, maybe you come back and say, well, Bradley, did you see the commitment that the Miami Dolphins put toward Chase Edmonds last year? Yeah, I know. But this was the type of signing we expected from the Miami Dolphins. They needed to address the backup quarterback position, and they wanted someone a little less dusty than Teddy Bridgewater. So Mike White is going to be that backup for the Miami Dolphins for the next couple of years, backing up Tua. And it's, and I, if I recall correctly, Tua has been, had his fifth year extension, that fifth year option extended. So he's going to be the quarterback for the Miami Dolphins. Tua, backed up by Mike White, is going to be the plan for the next couple of years. As I mentioned earlier in the live stream, Jarrett Stidham signed a two-year, $10 million deal with the Denver Broncos. And Russ gets his backup. Sean Payton gets a guy that he's been scouting for quite some time. So Jarrett Stidham lands in Denver. I mean, there's not really going to be a backup scenario where Jarrett Stidham is competing with Russell Wilson. So, and no, I don't think this is going to be a Derek Carr repeat either. 2 years, $10 million deal, typical backup deal. In fact, there were five backup quarterbacks signed during this free agency period. Jameis Winston, Sam Darnold, Case Keenum, Mike White, Jarrett Stidham. It was the backup quarterback brigade here. The only starting quarterback to be signed right now, Jimmy Garoppolo, as which I mentioned earlier in the live stream. We are waiting, lying in wait for that Aaron Rodgers deal to go through. We will see if it does. If it happens in the live stream, I might cry a little bit, you know, as the Packers fan in my heart. But nevertheless, we'll see where Aaron Rodgers lands. The only starting quarterback that we get firmed up from free agency is Jimmy Garoppolo at this point. We're going to shift from quarterbacks to a couple running backs. These are all backup running backs that have signed. There have been no big running back deals at this point in free agency. The first is Mike Boone signs a one-year deal with Houston to be the backup to Damian Pierce. I mean, Mike the Booner himself would be an interesting, you know, deep league. Like if you're in a 16 or 32 team league, like fine, you're desperate for a running back, like a heartbeat even. Fine, Mike Boone might be able to carve. I mean, Dari Gumbawale got usage from Houston near the end of the season. Rex Burkhead got some usage near at the end of the season. And my concern with Damian Pierce is that he's being overvalued, and maybe he'll be replaced, but we'll see what happens with Mike Boone moving forward. At least a speculative ad, but nothing more than that. There's really not strong fantasy value in Mike Boone, nor in Matt Breida, but at least he goes back to the New York Giants in the same system. If there's a handcuff to Saquon Barkley, maybe Matt Breida splits carries with someone else. Maybe it's Gary Brightwell. Maybe the Giants bring in another running back. Maybe the Giants draft a running back. We'll see how they address the backup running back position, but I wouldn't be comfortable with Matt Breida just as my number two running back. We'll see. We will see what happens, but Matt Breida returns to the New York Giants and Craig Reynolds gets some run with the Detroit Lions yet again. The Lions were pretty active on the defensive side of the ball, signing Alex Anzalone and Cam Sutton on their defense, but Craig Reynolds, the only offensive player of note for the Detroit Lions. Justin Jackson is expected to walk, and Jackson at the end of the year was getting anywhere between 10 and 25% snaps. So maybe Craig Reynolds can get a little bit more work. Preseason hero Craig Reynolds working behind DeAndre Swift, and we'll see if Jamal Williams resigns, because maybe Craig Reynolds can be the goal line back, which we saw was very valuable. So if you're taking some shots in best ball, maybe a last round rotating consideration would be Craig Reynolds on a team that may be needing that role to be filled. There's a lot of interest in Jamal Williams reportedly from the Bills, from the Jets, from a few other places. The Detroit Lions, of course, are interested in bringing Jamal Williams back, but Craig Reynolds on a super cheap deal that could be that battering ram instead of just merely leaning on DeAndre Swift. I like Craig Reynolds as a last round consideration if you're just taking a dart throw at a running back at this point. So there's at least some upside that we could see if Jamal Williams signs elsewhere in 2023. Now for wide receivers, there's only one wide receiver that's signed at this point, and it's a re-signing of Sterling Shepard. Sterling Shepard, this happened on Sunday, so before the tampering period opened, that's why he was able to return to the Giants. 1 year, like $1.2 million deal. He tore his ACL week three, but through 3 weeks, had a 29% target share. He had two games of 10 targets each. And I think that Sterling Shepard returning, this is actually a good deal for Shep and a bad deal for Wandell Robinson. Because if you remember, Wandell Robinson tore his ACL, was it like week 10 or 11, 12, something like that, in the double-digit weeks. They play the same positions. Shepard is primarily a slot receiver. And Wandell Robinson, I mean, he couldn't play outside. He's just too tiny. And so I think that this is Sterling Shepard is a very late last round once again, but can offer some value if he's ready to go week one and Wandell Robinson is not. I mean, Isaiah Hodgins is the only other legit wide receiver on this team. Like Kenny Galladay was cut. So Sterling Shepard as a last round consideration almost always commands 23 to 25% of the targets. When he's out there, the problem has been his health. Somehow, Sterling Shepard worked his way back from an Achilles injury mid-season 2021, and then he just goes and tears his ACL in 2022. The 30-year-old wide receiver is a good value, but it's worth mentioning that he's the only wide receiver to be signed over the last 2 days. There are some other wide receivers out there. There's Juju, there's Jakobi Meyers, a DJ Chark, to just name a few, but none of them have signed so far. So we are waiting to see how this wide receiver market starts to fall, how the dominoes will fall moving forward. No news so far. We are waiting and waiting and waiting. This is just day one of free agency, and so far not many wide receivers have fallen. Now we'll shift to tight ends, the last group that I'll review today. Jonnu Smith, this kicked off the excitement for day one of NFL free agency, and it wasn't even a free agent signing. It was Jonnu Smith getting traded from the New England Patriots in the midst of a four-year, $50 million deal. Jonnu Smith traded to the Atlanta Falcons for a seventh round pick. And this reunites him, you know, with Arthur Smith, who is previously in Tennessee. I put a poll up on my Twitter at FF Stalder. And I said, what will be higher in 2023?
How powerful is the Cox Network? So powerful that one day the internet will let your doctor perform miracles from thousands of miles away.
Connecting to remote operating room.
Giving a whole new meaning to the term house call.
Operation complete.
The Cox Network, with gig speeds everywhere. It's internet built for tomorrow, today. Cox, bringing us closer. In Cox serviceable areas, speeds vary and are not guaranteed. Cox terms apply. Other restrictions may apply.
Kyle Pitts receptions per game or Jonnu Smith total rushes? And right now it's split 50-50 because Jonnu Smith, like, he doesn't play the same role as Kyle Pitts, but at the same time, any target share is going to impact the wide receivers and tight ends who are, you know, going to be playing. So Drake London, I think, is going to be impacted by Kyle Pitts and Pitts by London. But Jonnu Smith eating into a little bit of that tight end target share, even if it's a couple percent, like moving down Kyle Pitts from 23% to 19%, you know, that's a significant shift if your pie is already very, very small. It's one of the reasons why I'm low on Kyle Pitts this year. It's not because of the talent. I love the talent. If we could bet on talent on just even an average team that can pass the ball an average amount of time, give me 30 pass attempts. Give me 32 pass attempts, please. Just please, for all that is good and holy for Kyle Pitts, give me 32 pass attempts. Okay, seven targets a game. But no, we're going to be relegated to 27 pass attempts, 25 pass attempts per game, unless we see a significant signing or trade. I just don't trust that the Atlanta Falcons are going to go out and get the quarterback that they need to be able to get the ball to Drake London and Kyle Pitts, and also, you know, any other wide receivers that are going to be significant here. So Jonnu Smith traded to Atlanta. Good for him. He was stuck behind Hunter Henry, and that's the tight end I want to talk about. Hunter Henry right now is an absolute steal. Like, looking at his ADP on Underdog Fantasy, Hunter Henry is tight end 32, ADP 220. He needs to be more like tight end 15, tight end 18. That's where I would like Hunter Henry to be. Like, looking at tight end 15, like Chigakonkwo, Taysom Hill, Michael Mayer. Like, that's the same realm that Hunter Henry needs to be in. He is an upside touchdown, big play tight end. But he was splitting snaps and splitting targets with Jonnu Smith. And we saw, as Smith's snaps increased, Henry's work decreased. And as snaps decreased for Jonnu Smith, we saw targets increase for Hunter Henry. That's just how it worked. So I am in on Hunter Henry as a spike week consideration mid-pack tight end 2, who is extremely and egregiously mispriced right now, especially in light of this Jonnu Smith trade. I don't see the Patriots going out and signing another tight end. This is going to be the Hunter Henry show. And with Jakobi Meyers gone, like, or we expect to be gone, Tyquan Thornton could be a late round dart throw if you're taking some picks in the New England Patriots offense. Tyquan Thornton, Hunter Henry. I like those picks with now Jonnu Smith moving out and also Jakobi Meyers expected to leave the New England Patriots. Okay, couple more. This also a trade. This happened on Sunday. Jalen Ramsey was dealt to the Miami Dolphins, but Hunter Long, a third round tight end drafted by the Miami Dolphins, who didn't get much work. He was out of Boston College, but his player profiler comp, Jason Witten, you have to like that. And it may take a little bit of time for Hunter Long to hit. Like, he's a dynasty buy, not a redraft or best ball buy. But Hunter Long right now is poised to take over that Tyler Higbee spot next year. Like, that's how we're looking at it. And Jacob Harris has transitioned from tight end to wide receiver. Ben Skoranek is just a big-bodied wide receiver. So Hunter Long has now positioned himself to be in an offense for a year, work behind Tyler Higbee, because Hunter Long wasn't going to learn how to be, you know, a dual threat tight end and stay on the field for 100% of snaps playing with or behind Mike Gesicki. Gesicki plays almost like a super slot tight end, like a big bodied wide receiver in the slot. Hunter Long was not going to be able to get on the field and be able to have meaningful snaps doing that, but he can learn how to do that from Tyler Higbee. So I like the positioning of Hunter Long long-term from a dynasty perspective. I don't like it in redraft. I think he's still going to be stuck behind Tyler Higbee for 2023, at least as of right now, as long as Higbee stays on the Rams. perhaps the most surprising tight end signing this year for day one, Josh Oliver, who is the third string tight end for the Baltimore Ravens, gets a 3-year, $21 million deal to go to Minnesota. Why? Why would the Minnesota Vikings, who just traded a second-round pick, a couple second-round picks, to move down to third-round picks, to acquire TJ Hockenson, now go out and get Josh Oliver? Well, it has to do with scheme. The Minnesota Vikings were looking for an inline blocker, and Josh Oliver is really good at blocking. In fact, he was the number two PFF graded run blocking tight end last year for those with, I think, 190 pass blocking attempts, pass blocks, whatever. Josh Oliver also can grow into being a dual threat tight end. He was drafted in the third round by the Jaguars a few years ago. And so Josh Oliver, one of 19 tight ends last year to have an expected top five tight end rate greater than zero. There were two other Baltimore Ravens on that list, Isaiah Likely and Mark Andrews. And if the Minnesota Vikings, who released Adam Thielen already, are now looking to move TJ Hockenson into the slot, then you can consider Josh Oliver to be maybe a spike week, touchdown dependent, last round desperation tight end consideration here, but also maybe an interesting tight end handcuff to TJ Hockenson. We've seen some spike weeks from Josh Oliver in the past. He has some interesting draft capital. He is an athletic tight end. So that really fits with what you want in taking just blind shots on tight ends. He's got athletic profile. He's done it before. He's paid $7 million a year. And this also means that Irv Smith's time in Minnesota is probably over. I wouldn't be surprised if the Minnesota Vikings look to trade Irv Smith or cut him, probably trade him to a team that needs a tight end. The Panthers, the Cincinnati Bengals. So we'll see what happens with Irv Smith, but this probably means that Irv Smith is not going to stay very long on the Minnesota Vikings. Okay. So I like Josh Oliver as an NFL pick, not going to be very fantasy relevant in the short term. And then for schemes, you know, Chris Manhertz, two years, $6 million, goes to Denver. And that's just fitting with the scheme that Sean Payton has. You know, Payton uses a lot of tight ends in his schemes. So Manhertz, one of the better blocking tight ends in the NFL, gets a deal for $6 million. Okay. Great. Well, I appreciate all of you tuning in. This has been a lot of fun. If you like the content and find it helpful, make sure you hit that red subscribe button. And Jose pops in. Hey, how's it going, Jose? If you have any questions about free agency or any speculations, I can stay on for a few minutes. I just wanted to take a moment and talk about some free agents in day one that we saw, or before day one, on Sunday as well. Yeah, I agree. Pitts gets no break with Smith going to Atlanta, right? The complainers will come out. The Pitts truthers will say, oh, man. Yeah. Jonnu Smith, I do think he, like, okay, is he going to get a 15, 20% target share? No, I don't think so. But you have to remember that Arthur Smith was the one who got Jonnu Smith the bag. Like, he's the one who's responsible for that. Jonnu Smith has signed a 4-year, $50 million deal as a third round pick out of Florida International. He's still only 27 years old. And if we remember, in 2020, Jonnu Smith was the tight end 13 in fantasy points per game. He's an athletic freak. His player profiler comp is David Njoku. 87th percentile 40-yard dash, 83rd percentile speed score, 94th percentile burst score, and 81st percentile catch radius. Just not a very agile tight end. If we look back to 2020, the last time that Jonnu Smith was with the Tennessee Titans and Arthur Smith, a 15% target share, a 23% target rate, which was 11th among tight ends. And even in 2019, an 11% target share and a 22% target rate. Problem is, I could see that target share for Jonnu Smith float between 8 and 12%. And that's not nothing when it comes to tight end target share. What do you think? Arthur Smith is going to have his quarterback target 40% of the time toward tight ends? I mean, it's going to be Smith and Pitts who are going to get a lot of those tight end targets. And yeah, as Jose said, Arthur Smith is the bane for all fantasy football players, right? Arthur Smith has single-handedly destroyed the rookie year of Drake London, destroyed the rookie and sophomore years of Kyle Pitts, and reinvigorated the once dead fantasy asset that was Cordarrelle Patterson. So yeah, there we go. Jose says, I actually like Garoppolo to Las Vegas. I think he gets a bad rap. You know, I put Jimmy Garoppolo as like quarterback. I don't know where I had him in my first round of rankings, but I'm probably going to put Jimmy Garoppolo between like quarterback 18 to quarterback 20, somewhere in that range. Because I think that he's going to be hitting ceilings of around quarterback 10, quarterback 12. That's probably as high as he's going to get. But the floor is scary. We've seen scary floors for Jimmy Garoppolo, especially if the offense isn't clicking or if he's not able to get the ball down the field, if he misses that. I'm stalling while I pull up my quarterback rankings on Fantasy Bros. Let's see. Yeah, Jimmy Garoppolo I had at 35, so I'm going to have to move him up. Now that we've got some clarity, no, I think I'm going to move Jimmy Garoppolo at like 26. I think that's going to be where I put him. Okay, I think that's where I'm going to put Jimmy Garoppolo because I like the rookie quarterbacks better. I like Sam Howell's spike week capability better. Maybe I do need to move down Derek Carr a little bit. I think Derek Carr is, there we go. Maybe move Jimmy Garoppolo to 25. But I do like the rookie quarterbacks, Young, Stroud, Richardson better. I like Aaron Rodgers better. I like Trey Lance better. Geno Smith, Howell, Stafford better. So that's kind of where I put him at, like tier wise. And as we get more clarity, I'll be updating my rankings as well. But for right now, Jimmy Garoppolo moves from quarterback 35 to quarterback 25 for me with this move to Las Vegas. Okay. Jose says, yeah, watch again tomorrow on the replay. If y'all like the content and find it helpful, make sure you hit that red subscribe button on the YouTube channel. We're almost at 900 subscribers, which is phenomenal. I'm going to do a massive giveaway when we get to 1,000 subs. So be sure to hit that subscribe button if you find it helpful. And Jose says, maybe you can let us know when you're in a state that allows for underdog. Yeah. So during spring break, which is coming up here in a few weeks, I think in a week, less than two weeks is my spring break. I'll be doing a live underdog draft in Ohio because I'm going to be visiting my family in Ohio. So during one of the nights, I'll see when I can schedule that. But for sure, it's going to be a lot of fun jumping into those, doing live drafts. I'm going to see if I can do a drafter's live draft later on this week, especially after we see this first wave of free agency happening, see where some of the things happen. I didn't even get to talk about the DJ Moore landing spot. I did put out a Twitter thread when the trade went through. I'm gonna see if I can find it and just recap for y'all so I can speak about it. But let's start with with Justin Fields, because Justin Fields right now is being drafted as the tight end or the quarterback five. Justin Fields is being drafted as the quarterback five. And there we go. My initial reaction is that I don't believe he leapfrogs Burrow, or at least he shouldn't. I think that there is enough risk with Fields and his passing and not enough upside for him to be able to access consistently the ceilings that Burrow, Allen, Mahomes, and Hurts do. You're saying, but Bradley, Jalen Hurts, he did that last year with DJ Moore, or with AJ Brown and Devontae Smith and Dallas Goedert. Yeah, here's the thing. Cole Kmet is not Dallas Goedert. Sorry. Cole Kmet is not Dallas Goedert. Darnell Mooney is not Devonta Smith. Maybe you can make the argument that DJ Moore is about or comparable to AJ Brown. I'm not going to argue that comp. But to say that Darnell Mooney is going to be the Devonta Smith, the Heisman Trophy winning wide receiver, first round pick wide receiver, that's foolishness. Foolishness, I say. Dallas Goedert is tiers above Cole Kmet. Let's not get carried away. Jalen Hurts was a good enough passer with elite weapons. Right now, Justin Fields has not proven to be a good passer in the NFL. And finally, he gets DJ Moore. So I said that DJ Moore, at least on Underdog, he was wide receiver 24. I think he should stay there. He should not be bumped up. This is not much of a downgrade either. I do think that the market bumps him up, but there are some sharps out there who are moving him down. I'm just not going to react. Fine. If DJ Moore is there at wide receiver 24, I'm comfortable with it. But he's really lacked spike weeks. He's struggled to be consistent as a wide receiver. And maybe you're saying, well, Bradley, he's had inconsistent quarterback play. The reality is we can't be confident that Justin Fields is going to be able to offer that type of upgrade that we need. Okay. So that's where I'm at with DJ Moore. I think he's fine at wide receiver 24. Darnell Mooney at wide receiver 49. It's fine. I don't think the market should move down Mooney because of DJ Moore. I also don't think he should move much up either. And some people came at me in the Twitter mentions and said, but Bradley, he had put up really good efficiency numbers. I mean, sure. Yeah, he's commanding a lot of targets. Problem is, you've got a 28 to 30% target share monster that is now inserted into this offense. We saw this last year when Devontae Adams was traded to the Las Vegas Raiders. Him and his 30% target share landed in Vegas and did affect Darren Waller and did affect Hunter Renfrow. So yes, I think that Darnell Mooney is fine at wide receiver 49. He's being picked outside the top four. He's a wide receiver five for you. I don't hate it. If there is some efficiency there and he has some decent floor games, okay. I don't hate it. But there are higher spike week guys that are going around that spot. Right? There are higher spike week guys that higher than... Like, let's talk about Darnell Mooney. Who's going around Mooney at wide receiver 49? I just updated it and still wide receiver 49. Like, Jacoby Myers is going wide receiver 46. Who are you going to want? Jacoby Myers or Darnell Mooney? Give me Myers. Who do you want? Michael Thomas at wide receiver 54? Or Darnell Mooney at wide receiver 49? Give me Michael Thomas. Thomas can access top 5 weeks. I'm not confident that Darnell Mooney can access even one top 5 week. Give me the Rashad Bateman at wide receiver 44. Give me Zay Flowers. Give me Jalen Hyatt at wide receiver 53. Give me Juju Smith-Schuster if he re-signs with Kansas City. Absolutely. You need to be having Juju Smith-Schuster over Darnell Mooney. That is a misprice, significant misprice, if Juju moves back to Kansas City. If Juju moves back to Kansas City, he should be in that, like, the George Pickens range, frankly. Because not only is, yes, Juju had a scary floor, but we saw ceiling weeks from Juju Smith-Schuster paired with Patrick Mahomes. That's the thing, is you're attaching yourself pretty cheaply to a top, arguably the best quarterback in the NFL. You know, some like to argue Josh Allen, some like to argue Hurts. Aaron Rodgers is still very, very accurate. But Patrick Mahomes throwing you the ball and you're Juju Smith-Schuster, he's not nothing. Yeah, he had some down weeks, but most of those happened after the concussion that he suffered. He was really, really picking it up before that concussion. And we saw a couple spike weeks even after that as well. So you do want to attach yourself to better offenses, which is why you pick Juju Smith-Schuster 10 times out of 10 over Darnell Mooney in that spot. They are back-to-back, wide receiver 49, wide receiver 50. You need to be picking Juju Smith-Schuster, if especially if he re-signs with Kansas City. Okay. So talking about the rest of it, Chase Claypool at wide receiver 70. I think that's a value. Chase Claypool has some athletic upside. Maybe he needed to be, you know, maneuvered into the offense. It seemed like he was uncomfortable there, dealt with some injuries. Wide receiver 70. I don't hate that price. I also just don't think that Chase Claypool is going to repeat as a top 25, top 30 wide receiver that he was his rookie year with the Steelers. Like, he would need to return pretty significant. Like, there were people who were in my mentions last week saying that the Bears were smart to have traded the 201 to get Chase Claypool. It was worth it, blah, blah, blah. No, it wasn't. Like, Ryan Pace made a great trade to acquire all of those picks in exchange for the first overall pick. But no, like, the Chase, that doesn't forgive Chase Claypool. It just means that, like, he could get away with it. Just because he gets away with it doesn't mean he's forgiven. Okay. But wide receiver 70 is a good value for an upside wide receiver. And at least we've seen spike weeks from him. Hopefully he can stay healthy and get into a role pretty consistently with the Chicago Bears. Another takeaway, Cole Kmet at tight end 13 is riskier. And let's see if there's been any movement since that time. Cole Kmet right now is still tight end 13. I think that's risky. I think that the presence of DJ Moore lowers Komet's ceiling. I think Komet will still be probably third in line for targets behind Mooney and DJ Moore. But give me, like, Chig Okonkwo over Cole Kmet at this point. Give me Hunter Henry over Cole Kmet. Ooh, there's a spicy take for you. And then with regard to Terrace Marshall, he's wide receiver 88, or at least he was right at the time of the DJ Moore trade. So Terrace Marshall is wide receiver 83. So we've seen five spots of growth from Terrace Marshall at this point. I don't hate that price still. I mean, even if he becomes the wide receiver 2 in Carolina, fine. At wide receiver 83, you don't hate, like, even getting 2 flex games from Terrace Marshall. And then if there's one wide receiver that I'm taking last round dart throws on, it's Laviska Shenault. Okay. Shenault right now has jumped from wide receiver 138 to wide receiver 100 since the DJ Moore trade. So 38 spots. I don't hate it. Last round consideration with spike weeks and athletic profiles. I love the Laviska Shenault last round pick as a part of your last rotation. Okay. So those are just a couple takeaways from that DJ Moore trade. All in all, I still think the Panthers are a poverty franchise after that trade. Like, I get it that you're probably not going to be able to get, you know, at nine, you're not going to be able to get your franchise quarterback, but to be able to trade so many assets, yikes. You're pressing the restart button. And I put this in a video when the DJ Moore trade happened, but this had to have been signed off on at many levels and a multi-year investment in the coaching staff, in the plan, like tank it. Like they're going to tank this next year and see if they can recoup some of their picks. The problem is they gave up their first next year. Problem is they gave up their first in 2023 or 2024 to be able to acquire this 101. So if the Panthers are bad again, which I think they will be, they'll be bad again, then that pick is going to be super valuable for the Bears in 2024. And the Bears, like, it's possible that the Panthers pick like third overall. And then that gives the Chicago Bears enough ammo to replace Justin Fields with the 101 if they need to. I mean, that could be the play. Trading for the 101 gets you either Caleb Williams or May out of North Carolina. So those are some things to consider as we're moving forward. I appreciate all of you jumping in with me. This has been a lot of fun. If you like the content, found this helpful, make sure you hit that red subscribe button on the YouTube channel. Thanks so much, everyone. Once again, I'm Bradley. You can follow me on Twitter at FFStalder. And until next time, good luck in the fantasy football streets, everybody.
I embrace all this risk, I'm insane. Talking about that best bill, I'm the best, best, best till. Into the next world, guess I got next still. Best bill, I'm the best, best, best till. Into the next world, guess I got next still.
How powerful is the Cox Network? So powerful that one day, the internet will let your doctor perform miracles from thousands of miles away.
Connecting to remote operating room.
Giving a whole new meaning to the term house call.
Operation complete.
The Cox Network. With gig speeds everywhere, it's internet built for tomorrow, today. Cox, bringing us closer. In Cox serviceable areas, speeds vary and are not guaranteed. Cox terms apply. Other restrictions may apply.